Nobody cares for you like family. Family Heating
and Air. When you call to have your home or business's heating and air serviced, what do you expect from them? A salesman in a colorful truck? Or do you expect a highly trained expert with your best intentions in mind? The answer is obvious. Call the company that treats you like family. My name's Malia, and I look forward to answering your call.
Family Heating and Air Conditioning is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
Nobody cares for you like family. Family Heating and Air.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. You did me a big favor last night, my man. I appreciated it. You watched the Indiana GOP governor's debate, so I wouldn't have to. It was my 10-year-old's birthday. We had family over, and I was really not interested. I will watch it tonight because you're gone tomorrow, and I will let our listeners know anything they missed for tonight's debate. I believe it's on Wish, right? Our newsgathering
right.
Partners.
Back-to-back debate nights. Like in the NBA, you always hear someone is coming off of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Well, the debate candidates are coming off of a back-to-back tonight. Wish TV has it. And friend of the show, Phil Sanchez, he's a part of the moderating crew tonight.
Okay.
But let's get into last night. You had Mike Braun, Brad Chambers, Suzanne Crouch, Eric Doden. Those were the ones on the stage. Those who were not on the stage were Jamie Ridenour and Curtis Hill. Now, tonight, Curtis Hill will be on the stage for the Wish TV debate. But Jamie Ridenour, best she could do is debating Rob Kendall earlier in the day.
I know. Again, it's this polling kind of threshold that they have, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So my thoughts on the debate last night, and we're going to play some sound clips in case you missed it, and judging by the interest in ratings, you probably did. We'll play some audio here in just a moment, but my takeaway is this. I'm somebody that, when I haven't been on air, right, I was a marketing director and events director. That was kind of my thing. Did that at the casino. I did that here at the old ownership, at the Emmis building, prior to getting handed the keys to the afternoon show. The way that was set up last night bothered me. The structure of the debate. Because they were trying to get so much in an hour.
There was no commercials.
Right. And it was rapid fire, which, okay, that's great, short attention span theater, but let's be honest, some issues warrant more of a discussion, more of a debate than others. Like last night, the topic of should we all be on the same time zone got the same amount of time as dealing with the taxes in Indiana, the property and the gas. Now, with all due respect to my time zone people, I think one of these is a little bit more important than others.
I mean, time zone is of interest to some, but probably, yeah, the property tax issue, taxes, gas tax is maybe something you want to concentrate on just a tad more.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Give it a 30 extra seconds. I don't know.
And it wasn't until 27 minutes in until that topic was brought up. And Nigel, you know as well as I do, you've seen focus groups, you've seen numbers. People who watch these debates, they're not hanging on every word. They're probably, unless you're a diehard political animal, and some of you are, you're not watching that entire thing. You probably saw the first couple of minutes and thought, well, this sucks. Let's see if Impractical Jokers or something is on. And that's kind of where I felt last night. And I'm into this kind of stuff. So the debate opened up last night. And the question was, what grade would you give current Governor Eric Holcomb for his time in office?
We'd like to now ask each of you for a letter grade to rate Governor Eric Holcomb's time in office.
So you'll each have time to explain, but we'd like that grade first, one by one. Mr. Braun, your grade for Governor Holcomb.
I'll give that a B minus.
Ms. Crouch, your grade.
Some things an A, some things a C.
A or C, Mr. Chambers.
Yeah, I'll give him Governor Holcomb an A.
Mr. Doden.
Oh, I focus on the future. I do not grade past leaders.
Oh, such a weenie response right there. I don't grade past leaders.
I heard Doden on Rob and Casey's show the other day. I didn't really know much about him. Seemed like a likable enough guy. But yeah, the A from Chambers?
An A. Like, so if you were a business owner that was told you're a Petri dish and kick rocks because you want to open up and make a living, that guy just said that was fine. That's two thumbs up, an A grade.
You may have lost a few votes for that.
The answer I was most intrigued with was Suzanne Crouch's, because she's the lieutenant governor, right? So she was the wingman or wingwoman, so to speak, to the governor of the United States, of the state of Indiana. So this was her breaking down why she gave an A and a C to Eric Holcomb.
With the economy, we're number one in the Midwest. We're sixth in the nation for our business environment. That would be an A. On COVID, looking back, that would be a C. And as governor, we will not have lockdowns, masks, or mandates when I'm governor because of what it has done to Hoosiers with the increase in anxiety and depression, particularly among our young people. And those young Hoosiers are the future of Indiana.
Yeah, that's the grade would be F, in my opinion, in terms of COVID.
COVID was an F,
yeah.
Right? If you want to tell me he did things well from an economic standpoint.
Sure.
All right, let's have that conversation. But there's a lot of business owners around here that did everything right. They listened to the advice. They followed the experts. They weren't marching up and down the street throwing bricks through windows. And they were called a petri dish by this current governor. That's a shame. Another point that was brought up last night was illegal immigration in Indiana. Now, again, this is a important topic, but this was brought up before property taxes. This was brought up before the gas tax. The question was, would you use Indiana resources to deport criminal illegals in the state of Indiana, those not seeking asylum? Really, Mike Braun was the only one that kind of showed any backbone answering this question.
Anyone that barged into this country and got released into its interior without a credible fear, that's the criterion. Biden allowed that. Anyone that came in that way will have to leave. And you've seen what governors have done in Florida and in Texas, and you judge for the Hoosiers to see who would actually take that kind of action. I would do that. I wouldn't count on that here otherwise.
And everybody else kind of danced around it. You know, they give long-winded answers until the bell dings.
I don't understand what's wrong with deporting somebody that's here illegally that's committed an actual crime within the state of Indiana. It's one thing to be here illegally and not seeking asylum. I understand that. I get that. But if you've committed, like, drunk driving or something like that, Hammer, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't understand how that's a problem. And it's apparently a problem down in Texas as well.
The other thing that I didn't like last night was we didn't get to hear from all the candidates on certain questions. Because you know me, I'm a death penalty guy. I am romantic when it comes to the death penalty.
Sure.
I like it when bad guys die.
You want to start a death penalty pay-per-view channel?
I do. And maybe one day when I run for governor, we'll have that. But really, only Doden was asked about the death penalty yesterday, and it was specifically about those dealing fentanyl.
So in 15 seconds to clarify there, would that involve potentially the death penalty? If you were elected governor, would you push for that?
Well, I said I'm pretty clear to the full extent of the law, whatever that law allows.
Okay, so that's a yes, I guess. I don't know. Everybody was a little wishy-washy last night, but specifically on that question, which only Doden got to answer.
It
was kind of a half-assed, whatever the extent of the law is. I hope Wish TV tonight, I want all the candidates up there. What about some of these scumbags that are on death row in Indiana that are completely out of appeals?
Sure.
And there's a couple of them. There's a couple of them that are totally out of appeals. A cop killer, the Shoney's murderer, they're all there. Curious to find out what these folks think. And then after 27 minutes, taxes were brought up. The question, would you decrease the gas tax? Here's Mike Braun.
So when it comes to the gas tax, the income tax, property tax is really what I hear the most about. We dealt with that when I was in the state legislature. And when a gas tax or a diesel tax would be used for roads and bridges, it wasn't before. We're the crossroads of America, and it costs to keep it like that. If we lose that comparative advantage, you're going to be in trouble. So community crossings, which generates cost sharing between state and communities across the state, local and county governments, They complained about it at first. Now they love it. If we want to keep what we're known best for, if we want to get economic development into this state, you got to make sure your infrastructure is in good shape. When it comes to that, and that happened years ago in the state legislature, that's why we've got roads and bridges in good shape. And almost 48 out of 50 stakeholders said they were for it when that occurred. I'll listen again.
So to follow up here, you're referencing your vote in 2017 in the state house. You voted to support that 10 cent a gallon increase signed into law by the governor. Would you vote the same way on that today? 30 seconds.
I would. I don't think we need a tax increase on gas.
It goes up every year.
In general, the thing we probably ought to be looking at is how do we keep property taxes from getting out of control? And there are other
ways. Okay, you can stop that, Allison. It goes up every year.
Like, what do they think he was going to say about the gas tax? Yeah, we should abolish the gas tax. That's all. He voted for it.
Right.
And, right, like you said, in perpetuity, it goes up every year depending on, on what the price of oil is.
So the question should be, are you willing to put a cap on the gas tax?
Yeah.
Here is the answer to that same question from Chambers.
I'm glad you brought up the 2017 gas tax increase that Senator Braun supported. That would have been the largest tax increase in state history. But this is about the total palette of taxes. It's about income tax, property tax, gas tax, sales tax. Indiana is pretty competitive. We can always work to get that down over time without pulling the resources away from education and supporting our police and addressing mental health and health care. We have to look at the entire package of taxation in a package, not just one individual tax here and there. We do need to, we were number one in the country for infrastructure in 2022. We need to continue to make progress in infrastructure. And so we'd have to evaluate that in context of all other taxation. At the end of the day, we're number nine in the country. We'd like to get that down even further, but not at the expense of public safety or education as well.
So basically, nobody wants to do anything with the gas tax. That's what I took away from everybody on that stage last night.
And then what is the plan for lowering property taxes? Did we learn anything specific there? Because as far as I know, Jamie Rittenhour is the only one that has a specific plan for property taxes.
They talked about it.
They said
the words property tax,
right.
But nobody gave any sort of insight on how they were going to actually help. And hopefully our friends at Wish TV tonight can get to the bottom of some of these plans that everybody claims they have.
We'll follow up tomorrow for sure.